The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to the Triple P Podcast, where we picture the past and present of popular movies made by well-known directors. In this series, I will be breaking down if us humans have changed as a whole when it comes to producing specific movie genres. I'm your host, DJ Fig, and let's get rolling. How's it going, guys? Welcome to episode 5 of the Triple P Podcast. My name is DJ Fig, and if it's your first time listening and unsure what my podcast is really about, well, I talk about different types of movie genres in each week and compare and contrast movies of the same genre in that week. Firstly, what movie genre are we discussing this week? Drum roll, please. Bum, 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 bum. We will be discussing sci-fi movies. Pew, pew. All right, let's begin. Sci-fi, also known as science fiction, is up there in my top movie genres to watch. The definition of sci-fi movies, according to FilmSite, is that science fiction films are usually scientific, visionary, comic strip-like, and imaginative, and usually visualized through fanciful, imaginative settings. Expert films, production design, advanced technology gadgets, examples of robots and spaceships, scientific developments, or by fantastic special effects. Moving on, I would say that most movie genres has their strengths and weaknesses, but what draws me to sci-fi is its ability to build new realities by manipulating time or technology or culture to create something interesting yet grounded in what we know. Sci-fi films get to experiment with humanity and play around with the what if. Like, what if we created artificial intelligence? What if we met with alien life? Each of these films of science fiction begins with a question like this, and as we evolve, so too does our answer. Sometimes AI is cruel and calculated, sometimes it's warm and loving. Where other movie genres inherit their world, I think science fiction gets to build theirs. Great sci-fi creates worlds that are natural and consistent when dealing with technologies and realities we don't fully understand. How we develop that understanding is critical so that what may seem impossible now can easily be understood by the audience. And this happens by filling the audience's world with small targeted details and avoiding including something that looks cool just because your world allows it to exist. Sci-fi technology is allowed to impress without seeming unnatural. An example would be in Star Wars. The futuristic technology is supposed to be a commonplace and negligible, but our characters have seen it all before, but it seems like the film is actively trying to show it off. Adding on, in it's those characters we use to explore these worlds. That is just as important as the world itself. They're the ones who frame how we perceive what we are seeing. When the character is familiar with the world and its rules, they act as our guide. They ground us and provide us a sense of normalcy to what we're seeing. And when they are good, we get characters like Luke Skywalker. Speaking of Luke Skywalker, I think it's a good time to discuss the movies I will be talking about. I will be comparing and contrasting Star Wars A New Hope, made in 1977, and Star Wars The Force Awakens, made in 2015. Since now I've talked about what sci-fi movies really are, I will be talking about the movies from the past first, Star Wars A New Hope. I'll be giving you guys a quick synopsis real quick, so here it is. In Star Wars, made in 1977, the Imperial forces, under orders from cruel Darth Vader, hold Princess Leia hostage in their efforts to quell the rebellion against the Galactic Empire. Luke Skywalker and Han Solo, captain of the Millennium Falcon, work together with the companionable droid duo R2-D2 and C-3PO to rescue the beautiful princess. And they help the Rebel Alliance restore freedom and justice to the galaxy. So that was the synopsis of the movie, and now I'm just going to go straight to the in-depth production before I go to my honest review. So Star Wars Episode A New Hope was released on May 25th, 1977, and at the time, it was called just Star Wars. The moviegoers never saw the title A New Hope in the posters. Everything simply said Star Wars. It was directed by George Lucas, and if you don't know who George Lucas is, he is most known for writing and directing Star Wars and creating the Indiana Jones series. Fun fact, George Lucas currently lives in Marin County and his own workplace in Nicasio called the Skywalker Ranch. He also founded Lucasfilms, which is one of the companies that produced the Star Wars franchise. Moving on, the things we see throughout the film, such as the environment, different types of aliens and spacecraft, were inspired by different types of producers, such as A Space Odyssey, made in 1968. With the $11 million budget they had, the producers had a struggle in affording some of specific materials, such as props and costumes, to enhance the experience and vibes of the movie. With this, the producers were forced to use unconventional methods and materials to satisfy them. Such as using scraps in making the dressings. As for filming and visual effects, filming took place in areas around of the tropical places such as the Philippines and Tunisia, to give a different feel or look to different planets showed throughout the film, such as Tatooine. Additional places took place in Death Valley, and the interior scenes were mostly filmed in Elstree Studios, which is near London. Moving on, as for voice acting, George Lucas hired Ben Burtt as a sound designer, and for Chewbacca, one of the characters in the film, had an interesting way in making him sound to their satisfaction. Ben Burtt recorded and combined sounds made by dogs, bears, lions, tigers, and walruses to create phrases and sentences for Chewbacca. I'll play a clip of what he sounds like. That was Chewbacca, and as for R2-D2, another character in the film, Ben Burtt created a robotic voice by filtering his voice through an electronic synthesizer, which is pretty interesting. Here's what R2-D2 sounds like. Alright, that was R2-D2, and another interesting character with a strange voice was the main villain, Darth Vader. Ben Burtt created his iconic voice through breathing through the mask of a scuba tank, implanted with a microphone. Here's what he sounds like. Alright, moving on, as for box offices, Star Wars is up there in the most financially successful films in all time. They received a whopping $775.8 million throughout the 5 years of its release. Over time, as the years go on, adjusted for inflation, this film had earned over $2.5 billion worldwide at 2011 prices. Alright, since I'm done talking about the in-depth production, I'll be going to my honest review of this film. So I rewatched this film earlier in the week, and I would say that it's still an iconic classic in the sci-fi scene. I really enjoyed this movie a lot. It's beautiful in its simplicity. Save the princess, beat the bad guy. And throughout watching it, I really admired the attitude of Mr. Space Pirate Han Solo, the youthful enthusiasm of Luke Skywalker, and the go-getter mentality of Princess Leia. And overall, it's fast, it's fun, it has heart, it has humor, it has tension and mystery, and changed how movies are made as a whole. I really loved the opening shot. I thought it was so brilliant that they used nothing but visuals, and the audience, including me, was shown what the movie was all about. Big oppressive empire and an underdog rebellion. One of my favorite things about this movie is the mystery. Who are these robots? Who are these main characters? What are Jedis? The movie does a great job posing questions to the audience that end up being answered throughout the course of the story. Speaking of characters, I thought it was brilliant the way George Lucas made the relationship between C-3PO and R2-D2. They are just so enjoyable to watch. They're fun to see interact with one another. They have the chemistry that resembles the chemistry of human beings. Having CP-3PO interpret R2-D2's dialogue for the audience, I just found that genius. It puts a unique spin on things. If the two droids were just talking to one another, it wouldn't have the same impact. Moving on, I thought the visual effects were good, the sets were good, from the Jawa yard sale to the cantina to the Death Star and the Rebel hangar, everything feels like it actually exists, because it does. It feels like these places have a life to it, and the things happening in the background during the scenes are just amazing. In conclusion, I thought the story was so compelling. The action is so fast and fun. Watching the characters evolve is a blast to witness. But overall, it's just a fun movie. There's build up like a symphony. We start slow and end with a bang. And yeah, I really enjoyed this movie. Okay, now on to the present film, Star Wars The Force Awakens. You know the drill, I'll be giving you guys a quick synopsis of Star Wars The Force Awakens. Here we go. 30 years after the defeat of the Galactic Empire, the galaxy faces a new threat from the evil Kylo Ren and the First Order. When a defector named Finn crash lands on a desert planet, he meets Rey, a tough scavenger whose droid contains a top secret map. Together, the young duo joins forces with Han Solo to make sure the Resistance receives the intelligence concerning the whereabouts of Luke Skywalker, the last of the Jedi Knights. Okay, on to the in-depth production of the film. Originally, Star Wars was never intended to have another great trilogy because of George Lucas. George Lucas's company, Lucasfilm, practically owned every right to Star Wars, and in October 2012, he finally sold his company to Walt Disney Company. This led to Walt Disney Company deciding to start another trilogy, which excited the audience. Moving on, as for filming, most filming took place in Pinewood Studios in England. Skellig Michael, which was an island off the coast of England, and military bases. As for box offices, with a budget of $306 million, they grossed a whopping $2 billion. As for casting, something very amazing they did was bring back Luke Skywalker, who was the last Jedi, Han Solo, and Chewbacca. The actors Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford were brought back to play these characters, and it was amazing. I'll go over it with my review. Speaking of review, let's go to my honest review. After 10 years of not having a Star Wars film and being a Star Wars fanatic, you can tell that there were a lot of people as excited as I when we heard this movie coming out. I thought this film was really good. They had plenty jaw-dropping scenes throughout the film, and it was amazing. I really enjoyed how the film had great visual storytelling. They were really good at attracting the audience to follow the characters, and I gained a feel for them. What was also super amazing was bringing back the original cast from the 1977 film. They had really great performances, and it really felt like older versions of their characters of the original film, especially Harrison Ford, who played Han Solo. There was just a lot of nostalgia I experienced throughout the movie, seeing Han Solo's relationship with Chewbacca, finally seeing a lightsaber. It was just great, and as I'm talking about it, I'm getting goosebumps. I enjoyed seeing the new characters too. There was a funny scene with Finn and BB-8, the new characters, and I was laughing so much. The main villain, Kylo Ren, is so cool. He's just like Darth Vader, and he had a really sick introduction, and it was great. Overall, this film was really good, and I'll talk about it more when we compare both films together, which is now. Okay, I'll be now comparing both films. Let's go with the Rotten Tomatoes real quick. Again, if you don't know what a Rotten Tomatoes score is, it is a 0 to 100%, and under a 59% score of a film is rotten, meaning it was a bad film, and over 60% is considered fresh, meaning it was a good film. For Star Wars A New Hope, made in 1977, they received a tomato score of 92%. And as for Star Wars The Force Awakens, they received a tomato score of 93%. As you can tell, numbers don't lie. These movies were really great, and having a tomato score above 90% means that it was really, really good. Next up, talk about the plot. Personally, from watching both films, I would say that they're pretty much the same. Although it sounds like a bad thing, as I was mentioning that in my Space Jam episode, I would say that this is different. Why do I think it's different? Is because although the movies were nearly 40 years apart, the films in between regarding the saga created a massive amount of buildup for us viewers, which made it satisfying to watch. What's something different about these two films, though, were the action scenes. You would expect The Force Awakens to obviously have better CGI, and it's true. The Force Awakens had, I would say, much smoother and flowy lightsaber fighting scenes and better flying scenes. And when I watched it in the actual theater, it didn't feel choreographed. And as for New Hope, you can tell that they didn't really have the technology to make it look more realistic, as The Force Awakens had, but they tried their best, which turned out good. It did look choreographed, however, but it wasn't that bad. Overall, I thought both films were spectacular in the genre of sci-fi. I would say that they truly define what sci-fi genre films should look like. What do you think? Thank you for watching this episode, and I will see you guys next week with another genre.